It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and by GoPSURV.com, the best single game RV value in Happy Valley. You got to check them out. GoPSURV.com, fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games, free shuttle to Beaver Stadium, large projection TV in the lot, free Wi-Fi there as well. And you can enjoy tailgating with the 409 barbecue guys and wine along with Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and Labatt Beer. Go to PSURV.com for all the details. This is Ohio State week. This is an unbelievable matchup on paper, on film. The number one and number two scoring offenses in the country in this one, both averaging north of 50 points, both scoring points almost at will. I think both teams have their upside. Both teams have their concerns. I think on both Ohio State and Penn State's end, it's on the defensive side of the ball. So this is a chance, I think, to see a lot of points scored at Beaver Stadium. And we're going to give our predictions later, but that would be my big picture prediction is that you're gonna see points.
You worked a long time to come to that conclusion.
I've been studying football for a long time. we're gonna see points.
Yes, you garnered all of your expertise, all of your experience.
I summoned it now.
The listeners know there could be a lot of points.
That's why they call me the unsung hero of the Keystone Sports Network.
That's right. That's what I call you too. Now look,
I call him something else.
Safe for the air. Todd. I think my biggest curiosity at this point is, do we see a lot of points? There's a part of me that just wonders if this new-look Penn State offense that still hits the big pass plays but runs the ball a lot, if they might just try and eat the clock, and it's just not the way they play, which is why I can't fully commit to the idea of them doing it. But I just think you're going to see Penn State run the ball a lot, and if you watched any of the New England-Detroit game on Sunday Night Football, Detroit had the ball seemingly the entire game. They just kept showing Tom Brady angrily on the sideline, wondering when he was going to get his turn. And I just get a feeling that you could see the same kind of shots on the Ohio State sideline, where Penn State's offense, focused on Miles Sanders and Ricky Slade, really takes the air out of the ball and tries to win the game that way. Again, it's not how they play, so I don't know if they'll fully commit to it, but I do think this could be a night, and we've seen previously this year Penn State's able to do it, that the running game takes over for the Lions.
Well, you know they can create big plays, and they can create big plays down the field, run after catch with guys like KJ Hamler. I think on the ground there's always a chance for Miles Sanders to take one to the house. I'm going to mention Saquon Barkley, not quite at that level, but there's big plays that can come from everywhere. I also think that when they run the zone read, that Trace McSorley is so good at making the call there and so good with the ball in his hands, you can almost guarantee 4 or 5 yards a clip too. So it's an interesting dynamic. And if Penn State really commits to that, it could make the game really interesting.
I mentioned in Stock Up a situational statistic with the third down conversions. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned Trace, because we really haven't talked enough about Trace McSorley.
It's the story of his life.
We have Trace McSorley. I mean, all the guy does is win. I mean, James Franklin's talked about the man crush he's got on him. And, go back to, he was joking that when he was 5 years old or whatever, that, he won everything he did, game, just anything the guy does, he likes to win at. And so I think that's really going to be a key part of it to what you're both saying in the sense of, Greg, do they play ball control? Well, if they can convert third downs, if they're going to commit to the run and get 5 yard chunks and then a 3 yard chunk, and now it's 3rd and 2. Well, now you've got to come up with some sort of play, and somebody's got to be open, whether it's Trace running the ball and running the read option, Dustin, like you just said, to keep the drives alive, to keep Ohio State off the field. Is Blake Gillikin more likely to run a fake and throw the ball this week, or is he more likely to come out at the 40-yard line and try and pin them deep and play, conservative a little bit and a little bit of field position football? Dwayne Haskins has been dynamic, explosive. I haven't seen Dwayne Haskins at Beaver Stadium in a whiteout condition. I think the narrative could be very much like last year at Ohio State, where you have a senior quarterback, JT Barrett, where Penn State jumped in front and got ahead, used the crowd. He was great in the fourth quarter and won the game for Ohio State. Could very well happen the other way around with Trace McSorley on the Nittany Lions sideline.
Never count them out. Trace is, I think that we haven't seen the best version of Penn State's offense, which is so scary because they're leading the country in scoring. You just haven't seen the depth of that connection with his playmakers.
Right.
You've seen KJ Hamler make plays down the field. You have also seen guys like DeAndre Tompkins and Juwan Johnson struggle with drops, and that even goes back to Illinois. And to think that Penn State, their offense is operating at, I don't know, 80%?
Yeah.
And they're scoring 56 points a game? You know, that's something that's really scary, and you can admire Ohio State's offense. You can fear Ohio State's offense mainly because of the 30 minutes that you played against Illinois just this past week. But at the same time, I think Ohio State is fearing Penn State's offense too.
Yeah, it should be, right? I mean, I think, you know, Todd and I were talking a little bit off air earlier about this very conversation. Everyone's wondering how Penn State's going to stop Ohio State's offense. Well, how in the heck is Ohio State's defense going to stop Penn State's offense? So it's a really interesting setup at this point, I think, for this game, because on one hand, you just assume it's going to go over the betting total, whatever it is. It's not out yet, I don't think, but I still, you know, it'll probably go, you know, it'll probably be 65. I mean, I don't think it'll be 70. You know, I don't think we're talking about a Big 12 kind of game here, but points are going to go on the board, no doubt about it, unless both of these defenses figure out a lot in a hurry.
And on that front, you know, Dwayne Haskins completing 75% of his passes, and this is not an offense where you see him check down, you don't see it, you know, it's not all screens and that kind of thing. This is a guy who can legitimately make all the throws. But the dynamic that's interesting and the thing that probably Penn State fans fear the most is that they've got J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber, who are both 1,000-yard backs. They might, I don't know if they're on pace, but they might both get 1,000 this year. That, you know, you have to account for those guys too. So it's a situation where Penn State's defense can't stack the box. They're going to have to play helmet to helmet football and be able to stop the run in a creative way without loading the box. I think Ohio State is going to have the ability to, you know, spread the field wide with 4 and 5 wide receiver sets. They're all threats. Penn State DBs are going to be on the field a lot, and let's see what they can do to step up their game stopping the run.
I think the interesting thing about this year's Nittany Lions so far through 4 games is how momentum driven both sides of the football have been. You know, we mentioned already, you know, 3 times in a row they've scored 40 unanswered points or more. That's momentum driven on both sides of the ball. The thing that I would be, and I am the most concerned about when I look at it from the Penn State perspective, is can they play a clean enough game to beat Ohio State? And they've shot themselves in the foot way too many times. The Cam Brown, you know, extra hit on the quarterback, that, you know, the roughing the passer, the, you know, against Pitt, there was a, you know, extra sideline hit that kind of wasn't, but looked like one, and the refs called it, you know, touchdowns that are called back, big plays that they're hitting, and, you know, can the offensive line keep from holding on a big play or not? Yep. Know, there's a lot of different things that can Penn State play a game that's clean enough to win. They've played a clean enough game to beat inferior opponents, but this is a different version of that. But, you know, that what makes it so fascinating, guys, is it's also for the other side, too. I mean, you know, and the environment that's created in Happy Valley on a Saturday night makes it difficult for people, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, jumping the ball. So I don't know. I think that's a question for both teams. But I would say from what we've seen on film that Penn State has a lot more cleaning up to do than Ohio State at this point.
That's probably fair. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State, Ohio State. That's Todd Sadowski from Fox 43. Greg Pickle here with me. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Ohio State started as a 3-point favorite. That has stretched by midweek to 4.5. So I think people saw that line and liked that line. I do, you know, the essence of all this is that I think you can say that from a personnel standpoint, Ohio State has a little bit of an edge here, but yeah. A little bit of an edge doesn't guarantee you anything. And that's where the whole whiteout scenario comes into play. You know, for sure, you know, going back to 2016 when Garrett Sickle, you know, just destroyed their game plan in the second half of that game, that the crowd will enhance the defensive line's ability to pressure the passer. When nobody can hear, it's advantage defensive line.
Yeah.
The other part of it is you talk about being momentum oriented. That's, you know, momentum is going to work both ways. At home, it's going to work in Penn State's favor. If Ohio State makes an early mistake and that momentum starts to work against them, you know, that's the ultimate wild card here, is how much that home field advantage means to Penn State.
Yeah, I guess the one thing I would say, guys, is 2 years ago, I felt like Penn State could win because of the home crowd environment. This year, I feel like they can win, and the crowd's a part of it, but it's not the sole reason. In 2016, the only chance Penn State had to win was a crazy crowd, and Ohio State fumbled it over itself based on, you know, playing on a road wild.
And they were struggling. They weren't in sync like they are offensively at that point in the season.
Right. So I think this year, though, Penn State has the talent to win. It certainly does. It has the talent we've talked about to go up and down the field with Ohio State, and it has the defense. It's not a talent problem on defense. It's just it's an execution error more often than not. I mean, Koa Farmer, Jan Johnson, Cam Brown, Sharif Miller, Eter Grosmontis. We could go down, you know, on and on and on. These aren't bad football players, John Reed, but they're not executing at the level that I think we expected them to, and that's been a problem through four games, even though the scoreboard might indicate otherwise.
So Ohio State runs deep with weapons. One interesting thing I want to watch here is Penn State, when they have to bring a bunch of DBs on the field, they're pretty good. You know, I don't think that's going against Penn State's strength at all. Donovan Johnson did leave the Illinois game with an injury. I'm curious if he's available. But if they're going to spread you out wide with all these different weapons that could make runs after the catch, you still have John Reed, three Castro Fields. You still have Donovan Johnson. You still got Zach McPherson. You still have Amani Overwarie. This is an interesting group of Penn State defensive backs that will be tested like they haven't been tested before. And I don't think that's an automatic Dwayne Haskins wins that matchup. I think Penn State's got some DBs, and their depth there has a chance to shine through.
It's funny because you don't ask much of the defense. Just keep the opponent under 40.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
keep them under 40, and we can win this game, boys. But against Ohio State, that's a tall order to do that. But you know, moving forward, that's probably going to be the where they need to be. It's just keep teams under 35 or 30, and this offense can win the game.
Let's get into predictions. And Todd, you're our guest here. You're on the board with a win so far. We're keeping track. Flounders has a win. Jim over here, I think he changed his pick after the game. He also got a win. Greg and I have not gotten a win so far.
We haven't even been close.
And the App State game was so far off that nobody got a win for that one. Nobody deserved a win. So what do you got for a score here?
I'm going – look, I really want to go Penn State. I really want to go Penn State. So I will. I'll go with Penn State winning 45-41.
Wow.
I want McSorley.
Points. Ohio State – 38, yes. Ohio State 38, Penn State 28. Close game, but the Buckeyes win in the end.
I've got a 42-35 Ohio State. In the end, I think keeping them south of 40 is going to do the trick. I just don't know if you can contain for that long.
Everyone's going to either really like Todd, or they're just going to be miserable and hate all.
Well, I'm not coming back next week anyway.
But it's better to err on the side of picking Penn State than not picking Penn State. Honestly, I just don't see it. You don't have a lot of teams who can be elite down the field with the passing game and elite as a running attack. That's what Ohio State is. I think in the end, that wins. We'll see what happens. I'm 0-4 this season. So you got to keep that in mind. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Stick around.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you. So that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Whether you're going to Happy Valley for a football game or having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats belong on your grill. These awesome brats are made with the finest ingredients using an old-fashioned German recipe and supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and football. It just doesn't get any better than that. Get yours at shotzisbrats.com. That's S-C-H-A-T-Z-I-S brats.com.